Other than it's got the most books, it has the longest book and the longest chapter. Do we know which one that is? 119. Do you know how many verses in Psalm 119? 170, I think 8. I'm believing it's 178. Really good. We're not getting that far. We're only going up to Psalm 72. We say it's poetry, but what happens with so many of our poems that we have in our hymn book? Somebody puts some melody to them and changes it into a hymn or a song.
It seems like a lot of the Psalms also revolve around God's word.
Okay.
I see a lot.
Well, when we get into the five sections of Psalms, we'll find out that they kind of clump the Psalms together, at least in my thinking, clump the Psalms together in a way that makes it overkill. Overkill? Is that a good word to use? The Bible is overkill? No. The Lord knows we need every word of it. We need every verse of it. But there's variety in there as well. So it's a collection of Jewish hymns. In order for a Jewish young boy, I'm not Jewish, to get into the adult ages of the church, it happens with the bar mitzvah celebration. Well, I was raised Lutheran. I had a confirmation celebration when I was 12 going on 13, and a lot of churches do. It was required that they learn certain psalms. They had to know these psalms, have them memorized. Well, many of them, I think, they sung. Jesus emphasizes the psalms more in his teachings than I think any other particular book. Why? Because there are so many of them? Not just that. The psalms reveal so many things about our God. And we're going to be looking at that. David was mentioned. Does anybody else know an author that wrote that the name is written for us as the author? Solomon has a couple. Even though it says he wrote many, there aren't very many of them in our English copy of Scripture. Solomon is two. Ever hear of a guy named Asaph? Asaph probably has as many as David does. He was likely one of the musicians that headed up David's choir and orchestra and music program. So Asaph is a name you'll hear a lot. Did you know Moses wrote a psalm? Moses? He lived a long time before. One of them, Psalm 90, is recorded for Moses. And then there's a whole bunch that don't have anybody's name. Anonymous. Anyway, it's not for their glory, it's for God's. They have so much teaching about our God. As we go through the Psalms, you'll find details about God that no other book talks about. And it repeats it over and over and over. To get it into our thick skulls that God is real and that we need to know these things about God. So there's a variety of subjects, but it's very practical. When do we want to seek Psalms in our own lives? When we need comfort. That's a strong one. How many funerals almost always have at least some of the Psalms? When we need comfort. But there's so much rejoicing in the book of Psalms. And we'll get to that as well. We as Christians should get a lot of spiritual food from this book, this collection of hymns. And like King David, what is his reputation? He was a man after God's own heart. Let's get that from these psalms. Let's pray. Father, this quick introduction to the largest selection of scriptures that we have, and yet my goal is not to cover everything. There's no way I can in one Sunday school class. But direct our hearts. Thank you for the time I've spent reviewing these things, and let them just be a great blessing to those that are able to hear. But give the understanding and stir a desire in each life that they would seek you more wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. So, this first book, there are five sections, and they divide it into five different books. So instead of just saying Psalm 1, Psalm 2, Psalm 3, Psalm 4, Psalm 5, we do that for some of the things in the Bible. There's a 1st and 2nd Peter. There's a 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. They could have done Psalm 1 through 5. But instead, they just lump it all together, the book of Psalms. First 41 Psalms. Three of the 41 are written by David. So there's a big chunk of his right there. Number 3 through number 41 are accredited to David. But I want to take a few moments. The introduction to Psalms has to begin with the first Psalm. Has anybody learned the first Psalm from memory yet? Psalm, all six verses. It's not very long. Especially the first two or three verses, I'm guessing you have heard enough that you could almost say them with me. So let's look at Psalm, and this is about the only Psalm we're going to spend more than 15 or 20 seconds in. That's how quickly I want to go through these Psalms. I want to share with you what the Lord laid on my heart. I could talk about a different theme, but almost everything I say about the Psalms is going to be encouragement for the Lord. Why we should rejoice in the Lord. It's all the positive things. I don't want to focus on the negative. I can't and cover the whole book in 2 weeks. So I only want to focus on the positive things. So if you'll have paper and pencil, if the Lord speaks to you with one of these Psalms, just write it, write down the Psalm. And I'm going to be quoting portions of a lot of them. I did write down a theme that I thought I wanted to share with you for each psalm. But Psalm 1 begins with, blessed. Why is blessed such a good word? Pardon? Joyful. That's a good thought. Favor from God. Great thought. Many times in Scripture, it just means happy. Just means happy. Joyful is the result of having a life with God. Blessed is the man. And then it gives some things that we're not supposed to do. That walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Hey, don't listen to the news reports. Most of it is ungodly. Don't walk there. Now, it's okay to peek in every now and then, but don't let that control your life. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Don't follow their path either. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We definitely don't want to go there. But what does it say next? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate. How often? Day and night. There's never a time you shouldn't get alone with the Lord. And verse 3. Here's what it's like if we're going to have God's blessing. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Where do we know where the rivers are in the desert? How do we know there's a river? There's going to be some good-sized plants that are still green. Where are they getting the water from? Underground. So even if we can't see the rivers, they're there. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall... See, you know some of these connections. Is that how we want our life to be? Just like verse 3? Verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So most of us don't know anything about what chaff is. We breathe a lot of it, because what is chaff? It's the outer shell of the wheat seeds that when they harvest it and they break it from the stem, they just want that little kernel of wheat. And how do they get it? They've got to crack it open and then they have to winnow it. That's God's description for ungodly people. Do we want to be like that? I trust not. Let's finish with verses 6. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So all through Psalms, there's a continual, this is right, this is wrong. This is right, over and over and over, for all kinds of different of our life's circumstances. So that's kind of the way the whole book of Psalms is. There's a comparison between what God wants and what the world has to offer. And that's one of the best pictures we ever have. Psalm 2. Now we're going to go lickety-split. I'll see how many I can get done before our time's up. My idea of Psalm 2 is that God rules. Verse 11 says, serve the Lord with fear. And verse 12 says, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. That's a good reminder. Psalm 3, David has his confidence in God. And verse 8 says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. That's salvation from the gates of hell. And it's salvation as we are living a Christian walk, trying to become more like Christ. Psalm 4, trust God for peace and safety. Does that sound like an applicable theme in today's world? Verse 8, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Psalm 5, another prayer of David that compares the foolish and the righteous. And it's God who directs our path. And my theme verse, but let all that put their trust in thee rejoice. Psalm 6, a lot of pleading for mercy. I was made aware of a young man that is crying out for God's mercy. And we need to pray that the Lord would work in that heart especially. His name is Dylan. But verse 4, save me for thy mercy's sake. Does God want to show us mercy? Does he want to show even the most ungodly person we know mercy? Well, it says that he desires that all men to be saved, and it requires God's mercy to do that. Psalm 7, God alone distinguishes how he treats the righteous and the wicked. And you see, sometimes we get our own thoughts involved in that. But we better remember God's the one who's in control. Verse 10 says, my defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. Again, I could be bringing out verses that do the opposite. I just want to focus on the good things God's doing for us. Psalm 8 reveals an excellent creator. Verse 9 specifically, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Amen. See, I finished the page. You don't know how many there are, but Psalm 9, a combination of praise and judgment. And I didn't pick a specific verse. Psalm 10, when it seems the wicked rule, God is still near the humble. Look at verse 16. The Lord is King forever and ever. There will be some of these I'll have you look up, but until I get there, let's keep going. Psalm 12, the words of the Lord are pure and preserved forever. That's what it indicates in verse 7. Psalm 13, if life seems overwhelming, keep trusting in his mercy. Verse 5, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Psalm 14, fools say there is no God. I put a note after this. That is not a true fact. I don't ever realize how some people can still think that. But God is real. Psalm 15. Here are three guidelines I wrote down of living a righteous life. In verse 2, it talks about walk uprightly and live in righteousness and speak the truth in our heart. Oh, that's sometimes a very difficult path to walk. Psalm 16, God will guide us. Go ahead and look at verse 11, Psalm 16, 11. Let's read that completely. And I didn't flip ahead. Have a volunteer of someone to read that for me? 16, 11, Leo? Does that sound like where we want to be? Amen. Are we there today? You came to church today. Did you come with joy and power of the Lord in your life? Because if Satan tries disrupting something, are we able to have his power to overcome it? So I could have done that with almost every psalm so far, but I don't have time. How about Psalm 17? Looking specifically at verses 6, 7, and 8. Here are some things that God will do. Ready? He will hear in verse 6. He will show marvelous loving kindness in verse 7. He also will save. Verse 8, he will keep us. And in parentheses I put as the apple of the eye. Anybody know the true meaning of the apple of the eye statement? I've heard several things. We realize that it's just in a very special view. It's how God thinks of us. If we're in the apple of his eye. Anyway, verse 8 also says that he will hide us under the shadow of his wings. And that illustration is used quite a few times throughout the psalm. Psalm 18, a man who decides to live a righteous life will have oppositions, but God will empower us to gain the victory. Verses 47, 48, and 49, I've taken just a few pieces of those three verses. It is God that avengeth, he delivereth me from mine enemies. Therefore will I give thanks. I just took pieces of those three verses. Psalm 19 has one of my favorite passages to sing. Maybe you're familiar with verses 7 through 11. So if you want to follow along, I'll try to make sure I say all the words correctly. Psalm 19, starting in verse 7. I've sung it like this. all the way to verse 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Then verse 10 is the chorus. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Back to verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. So I've enjoyed singing those few verses in Psalm 19. I'm flipping again. Psalm 20. I did not write one thought down. It's a very short psalm. But we'll go to Psalm 21. Here David is thankful for his kingship. And David trusts God to destroy his enemies. Psalm 22. David experienced severe hardships at times. Do we remember some of his history? Yes, at times he did. But he is trusting the Lord for help and deliverance. Verse 23, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. Psalm 23. I'm not going to spend much time because most of us have it well learned. But I like verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We sing that hymn regularly at our church too. Psalm 24, the Lord is the King of glory. I think that's one way that we don't give God enough credit for. Verse 10, the Lord of hosts is the King of glory. Psalm 25, David requests God's direction. He asks in verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. A lot of good things. Psalm 26, David has requested an inspection of his life. It is very good overall. If you were called the man after God's own heart, I'm sure he requested God's help a lot. Psalm 7. David seeks a close relationship with the Lord and waits for God's strength. Verse 14, wait on the Lord, and then skip a little bit. He shall strengthen thine heart. Psalm 28, David seeks God earnestly and expects God to provide strength. Verse 8, the Lord is their strength, is a part of that verse. Psalm 29, the Lord's voice is mighty. The end of verse 11 says, the Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 30, seek to praise God. Thanksgiving should result And the ending of verse 12, I will give thanks unto thee forever. So even though the themes are almost identical, are we getting it through our thick shell that we need this kind of repetition? But how does it affect us? Has something come up in your thinking, well, I've said all of these verses and so many of them are similar? Let it sink in. And it's got to change the way we live. But you say, I'm really good already. Yes, and keep getting better. That's all I can say. I've been saved for 40-some years, and that still has to be the desire of our heart, is we never get too good that we can say, okay, God, I can leave you alone for a little while. No, never. We have to depend on him. So that was a little commercial break. I forgot where I'm at. 31. Trusting God will enable ultimate victory for discouraging events. And part of verse 23 says, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. Be faithful. Psalm 32. Blessings abound for someone. And then the verse, in whose spirit is no guile. That's, I don't know what verse, I just wrote it, but I want you to look at verse 10 if you would. Just, it's in Psalm 32. Verse 10, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Okay, verse 2, thank you, Leo. Psalm 33. I couldn't write everything down and get through 72 Psalms. There needs to be rejoicing and singing to the God of who made the heavens. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Verse 12. See, I'm going through these, but I'm not even halfway done yet. Psalm 34, let's all turn there. That's one I want to look at just for a pause of me just rattling off and rattling off. Psalm 34, God delivers us from affliction. Clara, you have any affliction lately? Yeah. You see, most of us are old enough that have all kinds of affliction. Somebody had to move. That's pretty much affliction too. The Lord is going to deliver us from it. Verse 19. Let's read it completely. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And I like the last part. But the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So don't count your afflictions. Would that be a good hymn? Count your afflictions, name them one. No, let's stick with blessings. That works a whole lot better. Psalm 35. David requests his enemies not to be victorious. There are also verses that he asks God to destroy them. Well, that's the easy way out of life, that all of our enemies would be destroyed. God doesn't want that. He says, you endure them, I will help you, and that's going to build you up to be more of what you need to be. He knows what our sinful flesh is like. So let's keep following his instructions. Verse 36 is a comparison of someone wicked to someone righteous. And I'm thinking verse 5, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Good and positive. Psalm 37, here's a list of do's and don'ts. But the Lord is going to judge, not us. I thought of verse 11 the most. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And you could pick any of these psalms and find a verse that is meaningful to you. I'm just sharing ones that have stirred my heart this time reading through. Psalm 38, the pleadings of mercy due to his depravity and outside attacks. It ends with a cry for help and deliverance, which he uses the word salvation. Psalm 39 is very similar to 38. Man's frailties and vulnerabilities should humble us so that we seek God's forgiveness and for God to strengthen us. That's what God knows we need. Verse 13, oh, spare me that I may recover strength. Also turn to Psalm 40. It has lots and lots of quoted portions that as you read through it, I've heard that before. You've heard many of these before. Psalm 40 is full of those kinds of praises for the Lord. I wrote down verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written in mine heart. If we could get there, we would have much more success for our Savior. Psalm 41. The Lord must intervene in the messes of our lives. He is the source of victory and overcoming power. That ends book one. And I have 3 or 4 minutes to do all of book two. I don't think I'm going to even try. I was hoping to get this done in 2 weeks, but even this machine gun style of Psalms has almost completely filled their Sunday school time. So rather than push on, I do have one summary. It seems that as I prepared this lesson, David reveals much of the struggles that he faced in his life. It hints at the times that he was being chased by King Saul and having his own sons turn and rise up and rebel against him as king. But much of it is all due to our sin. It was due to his sin. And in order to maintain the testimony of a man after God's own heart, he constantly was crying out to God for help and mercy and forgiveness and strength. So we will accomplish only book one today. And instead of maybe, was this a style of lesson you could put up with for several more weeks if we just go through Psalms? Okay. But see, this is just what my one perspective in this moment of weeks that I've been going through the Psalms. I've gone through the Psalms other time. I've just never written stuff down like this. The Lord gave me an opportunity with the lesson. But rather than jump ahead to Proverbs, we'll spend at least a couple more weeks. I've finished my study of Psalms in the method that I just did with you. So if you're interested in printed copy of anything that I had to say, or if you jotted down, just find some of these Psalms that maybe you can cling to when you have a struggle or when you're having victory, rejoice that much better with the Lord. But much of this was because of David's life. Let's pray.